Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night to pursue that flighty temptress.
Adventure!
Everyone and welcome. I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
My name is Reese Larson.
My name is Felicity Larson. Here's Lumos.
And we have our cat Lumos. We are so excited to be joined by our little lad and lass who are officially on summer vacation. And we're going to be talking about Chapter 7, Bagman and Crouch. Salesmen were apparating every few feet, carrying trays and pushing carts full of extraordinary merchandise. There were luminous rosettes, green for
Ireland,
red for
Bulgaria,
which were squealing the names of the players, pointed green hats bedecked with dancing shamrocks, Bulgarian scarves adorned with lions that really roared, flags from both countries that played their national anthems as they were waved. There were tiny models of firebolts that really flew and collectible figures of famous players which strolled across the palm of your hand, preening themselves. "Been saving my pocket money all summer for this," Ron told Harry as they and Hermione strolled through the salesman buying souvenirs. Though Ron purchased a dancing shamrock hat and a large green rosette, he also bought a small figure of
Victor Crumb,
the
Bulgarian seeker.
The miniature Crumb walked backward and forward over Ron's hand, scowling up at the green rosette above him.
This chapter. This chapter is something. And a massive world-building chapter for the Goblet of Fire and Harry Potter in general. And as my bride has said, we have our little lad and our little lass with us today to celebrate this huge chapter for the Wizarding World and all that is entailed for the Quidditch World Cup. Marvin, are you ready to get into this episode?
I sure
Children,
am.
Are you ready to get into this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What do you think you're doing?
All right, let's do it, shall
Wish
we?
Us luck.
Okay.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So, as a fun thing to make this different, little lad, normally I talk a little bit about what happens in this chapter.
Yeah.
I would say, here's how I would word it, and I'd love to hear how you word it. Everybody gets to the campsite, they put up their magical tents and meet some people, they meet Ludo Bagman, and they get pumped because they're going to watch the sporting event soon. How would you describe this chapter?
So, I think this chapter is really sporty. I've been up to soccer for whole years at my school, and it's like very like that. I've been playing it for almost since a year.
I know. What would you say?
How would you describe chapter 7?
How would you summarize what happens in this chapter?
This chapter, whoa, it's blowing my mind. It's the best chapter.
What happens in it?
Quidditch World Cup. Wouldn't miss it. It's a very good one. The Quidditch World Cup.
What characters do you meet in this chapter?
Bagman and Crouch.
And who's Bagman?
He is an old... He used to play Quidditch.
Okay.
And he got his nose got beaten up by a bludger or something.
Yikes. Okay, and who is Crouch?
Crouch, he's an important ministry member in the Department of Magical Cooperation.
Oh, very cool. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Now, do you like Ludo Bagman?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think he's a good guy?
Yeah.
How about Barty Crouch?
Senior.
No.
Okay. Well, we're not going to... Okay, all right. Yeah, so
you don't like Barty Crouch Sr.?
No, he is very snappish.
Very snappish. Okay, all right. And what else happens in this chapter? Does what other wizards and what other things do you meet and other people do you meet?
We get to meet other Hogwarts goons, Dean, Seamus.
Yep.
And Cho Chang.
Okay, yep.
And the old Quidditch team captain of Gryffindor, Oliver Wood.
Hey.
Who that's Mama's favorite.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mama loves Oliver Wood.
Yep.
So there's a bunch of people hanging on out, and they are all dressed as what?
They're all dressed
Muggles.
Muggles. And the tents are trying to look as muggleish as possible, but They slipped up. They made it a little bit not muggle-like.
Well, once you step inside, is it like a muggle tent or is it a magical tent?
Magical.
Right? And yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. But yet, Arthur Weasley, who loves all things muggles, tries his hardest to make sure that they can still look like muggles. And speaking of muggle, there is a guy who is running the campground collecting money. And something happens to him.
Do you remember his name?
Mr. Roberts.
Yes, that's right. And what happens to Mr. Roberts?
Oh, I don't want us to spoil. Okay, spoiler. He gets trampled by a load of...
In this chapter.
That is a spoiler. But no, what happens to chapter. Mr. Roberts in this chapter?
He gets memory modified.
Oh, my goodness right. gracious. So... here's this poor muggle who owns this campground, right? And he has had to have his memory modified how many times in one day?
10 times.
Imagine. His brain must be mush at this point. But it keeps getting confused because these wizards are coming in who have no idea how to work with muggle money. He even says that he got some money as big as what?
A hubcap.
A hubcap. That's the thing that goes on our tire. Like as big as our tire. So no wonder he was confused, right? Mm-hmm. There was a special tent that was quite beautiful that they saw.
By the way, right? I just have to say this.
Uh-huh.
If my tent was like the tent that Arthur Weasley had,
mm-hmm.
I'd go camping every day.
Oh, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aside from it smelling like cats?
Yeah, we'd figure that out. Okay. I'd get some fans.
We get the smell spray.
Yeah,
sure. We get that. We take care of it.
Get some Febreze.
But if I could just carry this little teeny tiny tent and then just have it be like three rooms with a bathroom and everything, bippity boppity boo, all that stuff, yep, I'm in. I'm in.
There was a striped silk tent that looked like a miniature palace. And what was outside that miniature palace looking one?
Peacock.
So do you know whose tent that was? You probably don't know. You don't know because you haven't read Deathly Hallows yet. The Malfoys have peacocks at their house, at their mansion. So most likely,
that has to be the Malfoys.
Was the Malfoys' tent, which is pretty cool.
Hey,
right?
And what happens to the lady who has the baby? Do you remember what happens to the lady that has the baby?
She squishes his slug.
He blows up like a slug, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
More fun things from the author.
So what's interesting in this chapter is that we learn a lot about the inner workings of the Ministry of Magic. We've learned a lot about the wizarding world and about Hogwarts and the Hogwarts Express and what it means to be a muggle. I mean, what it means to be a wizard. We've learned about things that Harry cannot do. You know, he can't do his magic outside of places. It's interesting, of course, all this magic is allowed in a muggle campground. But Arthur Weasley talking to all these people who work at the Ministry of Magic and talking about how the Quidditch World Cup was put together, we learn a lot about the work that it takes. And Ludo Bagman, he keeps kind of like slipping in a little bit of something. Oh, we've got something else planned, right?
Yep.
And what do you think that is?
Oh, I'm not telling you a spoiler.
Yeah, you don't want to do the spoilers?
Nope.
It's, of course, the Triwizard Tournament.
But Ludo Bagman keeps walking around and he keeps talking about stuff. What? Like, what's he talking about?
Bludgers and quaffles.
Is that a good thing?
No.
Why is that not a good thing?
Because muggles are not supposed to know about magic.
I know, and you think he would be smarter than that, right?
Yep, he should be smarter.
But he's not. He's just running his mouth thinking, oh, well, not my job right now. And technically, it kind of is.
And it goes to show you, too, how much the wizarding world has to manipulate the muggle world. Like there is a charm on the stadium itself. We got people getting obliviated 10 times a day. I mean, like you said, Mary, your brain's got to be mush by the end of this.
Yeah, that's some Men in Black stuff.
Like
going on.
Flashy thing. You're getting flashy things. Yeah. How many times are you going to flashy thing somebody?
Hey, 10 times a day. You know, it's interesting too. We get to hang out with Barty Crouch, who Percy works for. And what does Barty Crouch call Percy?
Weatherby.
Is that his last name? No. You gotta not put your mouth on
no.
it. No.
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't lick the microphone. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Future podcaster here, but we need to teach him some of the proper etiquette. yeah, so we have Barty Crouch, who, you know, he is the complete opposite of Ludo Bagman. They said that he dressed like a muggle down to a T. Like, he would have looked like he was a banker.
Right.
And here's Percy, who is doing everything within his power. We heard him, how he was like, crouch this, crouch that, crouch this in the previous chapter. You know, how he just like worships the ground that Barty Crouch Sr., you know, walks on. And here's Barty Crouch Sr., who has, doesn't even know Percy's last name. Percy makes Ludo and Crouch some tea, and Crouch doesn't even drink it.
Yeah. Thanks, Weatherby.
Yeah, whatever.
thanks for the tea.
Right.
The author makes it hard for you to like Percy, I think, in many different ways. And she makes it easy for you, the reader, to make fun of him. Because even Barty Crouch doesn't even take him seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just doesn't even happen. It calls him Weatherby.
But that's not necessarily Percy's fault. It goes to show you that Crouch doesn't necessarily appreciate.
Yeah, but
That's right. It is his real last name.
But it does show you that Percy is overvaluing his value to Barty Crouch and his job. And he's trying to make it seem like he's a much bigger deal than what he actually is. Mm-hmm. And that is not a likable trait.
I heard the story when Crouch...
Come here, you got to speak into the microphone if you want to talk.
I heard the story about it, and he called... Percy Weatherby.
That's right. We're seeing he called him the wrong name, which is crazy. We do have a little bit of a conversation, you know, while Bagman and Crouch are there, where Mr. Weasley brings up Bertha Jorkins, who we've been mentioning, you know, several times within the Potterverse podcasts. Any news of Bertha Jorkins yet, Ludo? He asked Bagman. Not a dicky bird, said Bagman comfortably, but she'll turn up. Poor old Bertha, memory like a leaky cauldron and no sense of direction. Lost, you take my word for it. She'll wander back into the office sometime in October, thinking it's still July. You don't think it might be time to send somebody to look for her? Mr. Weasley suggested tentatively as Percy handed Bagman his tea. Barty Crouch keeps saying that, said Bagman, his round eyes widening innocently. But we really can't spare anyone at the moment. You know, so they're getting ready, whether it's the World Cup or the Triwizard Tournament. They've got a lot of different things going on. But it's fun. You know, you think about going to sporting events and this is it just reminds you, as I said, if you've ever been to a major sporting event in your area, in your state, and you know, wherever, this is what it's like. It is loud. It's you bumping into people. It's getting food. It's getting your places ready. There's people just like schlepping goods left and right, being loud, chaos, kids bouncing around, doing all sorts of things. So you really got that loud, fun,
absolutely
crazy experience. And this runs, once again, this is still the same day. The kids woke up really early this morning, had their porridge, you know, left the house. Mrs. Weasley is well on her way to Diagon Alley right now in her shopping spree. you know, so it's just one big long day, and it's just beginning. It is fun to learn about the tents, too.
There is one thing I will say that I miss from the films that happened, and I wish that it happened here in the book. And it's just this moment that Harry has in the film when he goes into the tent, and he looks up, he says, I love magic. Like, I don't know why that line has always stuck out with me. Mm-hmm. It's just a recognition.
Well, yeah, like he can't say that necessarily in the book because we are already loving it for him. We are in awe. But I think we need it in the movie for him to show us and to remind us this is magical. This is grand. You know, this is now the fourth movie in the Harry Potter series where we're kind of immune to magic at that point. Whereas reading this is our first time. You know, you get a different sensation. The author here is able to truly explain it to help you understand the grandeur of a tent that Arthur Weasley was just able to bibbity boppity boo into existence, which is pretty cool.
Right. And I also like to, and the book so far has done this great job of, again, as we talked about at the beginning of this episode, building the world and building the processes and the structure of the wizarding community, whether it is Muggle cooperation or making sure that anti-Muggle stuff happens, or there is the regulations that Percy is working on. There is the sports part that Ludo Bagman is a part of, and Barty Crouch. But there's also this great argument about Muggle artifacts and how they should or should not be used, and especially in the case of the argument between brooms and carpets. For some reason, carpets in England are outlawed. They cannot be used because they are a Muggle artifact. Mm-hmm. But, like, what's the difference between that and a broom?
Great question.
Right? Like, brooms are Muggle artifacts as well. Why can't carpets be charmed? And there's also, I think, a fun little instance here for you readers who have read The Goblet of Fire through already, where Barty Crouch is saying, oh yeah, my dad had a carpet. It was a magic carpet. And we used to go for rides on it all the time. Of course, when that was legal.
When that was allowed.
When that was legal. And
think about all the silly things that are illegal or legal right now. The fact here, is it Rhode Island, that like if you ride a motorcycle, you don't need to wear a helmet. But the person that you're traveling with, you know, your passenger has to.
It's bananas.
Like, what are we even talking about? Or the fact, you know, that seatbelts weren't necessarily needed back in the day. And now, of course, they are. And all the different rules about where your kid can or cannot sit just for safety reasons. But that's what I was kind of thinking. It's like this silly helmet rule. Like, why wouldn't you, if you're insisting that everybody wear seatbelts and that the passenger in a motorcycle wear a helmet, why do they, obviously, Blake wears a helmet all the time.
Oh, yeah.
As a motorcyclist, but like, why wouldn't that be the law? So I think it's just things like that, that sometimes you skirt around things and other times you just leave it up to people's discretion.
Is there a portion of this argument that is like, well, that's not our thing. That is a foreigner thing. Like carpets are a foreigner thing and brooms are our thing.
Interesting.
Like, is there some kind of, I don't want to say prejudice, but like, is there some kind of like, that's other?
I didn't get that vibe, but definitely an interesting conversation.
I kind of did, because okay. Like, you know, implied. All right, so the first thing you think of a magic carpet, what's the first thing you think of?
Aladdin.
Right, exactly.
A whole new world.
A whole new world,
shining,
Aladdin.
Shining, shimmering, splendid.
And that is the opposite of England and the opposite of the English community, right?
Yes.
So, like, is there a part of that that exists? Like, we already know that there's biased feelings in the Ministry of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's part of it as well.
Interesting. Well, back to the fun buying stuff. Ron, of course, just like gives all of his money, buys all these cool things. We, of course, I love that he like saves his money and he's got this little Victor Crumb miniature, because as we all know, those of us who have read The Goblet of Fire or even seen the movie, Victor Crumb kind of becomes Ron's arch nemesis within this storyline. And yet, like, this is what he wants. Fred and George end up giving their money to Bagman. Why do they do it, Reese?
They want to bet.
They want to bet on the game.
What are they going
to
bet? Like, what are they betting on?
They're betting that Island wins, but Victor Crumb gets the snitch. And they said they will throw in a fake wand.
Oh.
Right? Because it's a pretty good one. They even get complimented on it. So at the end of this, Harry buys Hermione and Ron and himself some omnioculars. Which omnioculars,
they're
buddy?
They're very weird-looking omnioculars.
What do they
binoculars?
Do?
They show you slow motions. You can play-by-play breakdown if you need it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. Rather than just having your binoculars that allow you to see things close up that are actually at a faraway distance, you get to pretty much do all these different things so you can really see things in different ways, slow, zoom in, all that great stuff. And then we end the chapter with the crew heading on over as a gong is hit and the World Cup seating is begun, and they're all sitting actually at the top box with Ludo Bagman, who is the commentator. I mean, right. You don't get much better of a seating than that.
And then there's another part here too that I really like that also happens at professional sports events, and that is the favors. You do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. Why don't you hook me up with some seats? I'll hook you up with some other stuff. And we have Barty Crouch talking about how the Bulgarians need to get back into the top box as well. They need to add the 12 seats for the Bulgarians. And Ludo Bagman is questioning that and how that's going to happen. Okay. I just like that back and forth between there. Interesting thing. Hey, does Hermione like Victor Crumb in this chapter?
No.
No. How come?
I don't know, because he's really grumpy.
He looks really grumpy, right? He looks really, really, like, broody and not crabby. Happy. He looks really crabby.
Like Batman.
Like Batman. True. Yes, absolutely. Just like Batman. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about in this chapter?
No, there isn't.
No? And Reese, would you like to say anything else about this chapter?
About this chapter that you liked or didn't like.
What did you like in this chapter? What did you not like?
About Mr. Crouch calling Percy Weatherby.
That is quite funny, right?
And when they also talk about the World Cup a lot and Muggle artifacts, that's very weird.
Right? It's just our stuff, but they think it's a really big deal because it's stuff that they're not necessarily used to.
The Muggles should not see any magic.
Well, they modify their memories if they do, right?
If 10 times a day, your brain becomes mush and slime.
And it seems like it happens a lot, too, right?
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. And what else did you like about this chapter? Anything else? What was your favorite part?
Oh, the one that... When the World Cup begins.
The gong and they're ready with all the lights.
Oh, yeah.
And what's your least favorite part?
I don't know.
You don't know? You'll just like it all? You know what I really like? My favorite part?
What?
My favorite part is the way that the author describes Ludo Bagman, where he seems like a good guy, but there's just something about him that you're not too sure about. And the other part that I really like too is how the author describes all the different tents. And it almost reminds me of the way that Diagon Alley was described.
Yeah.
Just that, like you said, it was just this crazy whirlwind of experience, and how some people did certain things and they're having fires and then they're having these big like candy cane spires and like, you know, all
tents.
Like, it's really cool stuff.
Magic. Don't allow the magic.
How about you?
I loved it as well.
Yep. What, did you have a favorite part?
The describing of the tents.
Yeah.
As someone who grew up camping, I would have loved to have a magical tent.
That would have been great.
Yes. So I think we're going to do something a little different for our different perspective. We're going to let our little lad pretend to be someone in this chapter.
Who do you want to pretend to be?
Mr. Crouch.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, hold on. So we're going to play our music and then you're going to pretend.
Hi, I'm Barty Crouch Sr.
All right, you ready? You ready, Reese?
Yep.
And well, I'll tell you when. And Mom is going to interview you, and you're going to play Barty Crouch, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Hi, who are you?
Barty Crouch Sr.
Hey, Mr. Crouch. What are you up to today? Is it a busy day or an easy day?
Of course, it's very busy.
Why is it so busy?
I've been working in the Ministry of Magic, and it's so hard in our department right now.
Well, what's keeping you so busy, sir?
Standardizing cauldron sickness.
Oh, is that a big deal?
Why is that such a big deal?
We're in a very, very, very serious department right now.
Oh, okay. Hey, so Mr. Crouch, are you so excited? Who are you rooting for the World Cup?
Ireland?
You don't sound too sure on that. Do you watch a lot of sports or are you more of a book kind of guy?
More of a book kind of guy.
All right, cool. Tell me, what's your tent like?
I'm not supposed to tell anybody. I don't know what my tent's going to be like.
Oh, you get to imagine it. That's what different perspective
is. Oh, yeah. It's going to have loads of spires and green silk and even some pink towers on the top.
Mr. Crouch, I would have never guessed that would be the type of tent that you would have. What kind of toy are you going to buy yourself at the game? You know how like they're selling all this kind of stuff?
A miniature of Victor Crumb.
You're a Crumb fan?
Yeah.
You like Victor Crumb?
Yeah.
Is it kind of a secret?
No.
Oh, everyone knows that you vote for Crumb?
Yeah.
Do you like him because he's kind of crabby like you? You appreciate fellow crabby men?
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, what are you going to be eating at this sporting event? What's going to be like a fun party food that you're going to eat?
Lots of stuff!
Like what?
Cake!
Barty Crouch eats cake.
All kinds. What's your favorite kind of cake, Barty Crouch?
Chocolate.
Chocolate cake. Well, yeah, clearly. It's a very traditional style cake for you. That would make sense. Although I feel like you probably watch your calories, right?
Are you on a diet? No, I don't think he would be.
Yeah, I am.
Maybe he just works too hard that he doesn't eat too much.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Well, good job, Barty Crouch. Thanks for coming over today.
All right. All right. Well, ladies and gents, we are going to close this one up because I think our children are getting a little impatient. Marvin, you got anything else you want to say
that
about this chapter?
I have one.
Okay, Reese, what do you got to say?
Today, even though Dad said we're getting a little impatient, we're going to head to...
No. You can't say that.
Come on, no, Dad. No.
So on this note... We hope that you all have the most amazing day. Can you just say thanks for letting me be on? No.
Well, you know what? Let's play the music. We'll close this out. All right, let's do that. Here we go.
Let's go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is when you know the kids need to be outside. Sunshine, maybe out to a sporting event. Who knows? But what I can tell you is that we appreciate you listening, tuning in, subscribing, watching. However you have the Potterverse in your life, know that Blake and I truly appreciate it. We talk about it all the time, that our friends at jointhenerdclan.com keep this going.
Reason being
is that this is a mom and pop podcast. Literally, people who join at jointhenerdclan.com help us support our family, help us support this little lad and lass, keep the websites going, the podcasts and everything. So if you have not yet joined and this brings you Lumos in the time of Nox, please head on over to jointhenerdclan.com where it's a little less $2 a month. You can become a member and get premium access to podcasts and book clubs and so much more.
Oh yes, so much more and more and more and more.
And make sure you go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great other podcasts that we have going on, including we finally finished up The Handmaid's Tale. So we have that written blog series called The Handmaid's Diaries. And also make sure you check out the MCU Diaries. We're covering Loki at the moment. So very excited about
that. Lots of things going on, friends. Well, on this note, my name is Mary.
My name is Reese.
My name's Blake.
My name's Felicity.
Mischief managed.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.